I'm just getting warmed up.
All right, over there. You're warming up. Warming up the old vocal cords.
Warming up the cockles.
The cockles?
Yeah, I got to get ready.
Yeah, the cockles have to be nice and warm for the podcast.
Yep.
Whatever that means.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting news, if I can talk, in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Yes, it is a wonderful week because we're finally out of the heat. I am drinking all the water that I possibly can. That might be one of the reasons why I'm tongue-tied a little bit, because I've been drinking nothing but water for the last 8 days.
Yeah, you got to stay hydrated in that heat. Thankfully, we got a little bit of a break.
Yes, so I'm happy as a clam. We're finally out of that ridiculous, atrocious, oppressive heat wave we got here in Philadelphia, so I'm happy.
It's been bad, but it's still the middle of the dog days of summer. Thankfully, you have the Crispy Noodle Podcast here, a refreshing little treat in the middle of the week.
That's
to help
right.
you through it.
That's right. As long as I maintain my supply of water and I can talk clearly, we're going to have a great show. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. We got a lot of news to get to in sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we get to all those topics, we'd like to get you caught up on what we've been up to personally. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up in Costanzo country?
I'm pretty good. This past weekend was very busy for me. I had a sleep study, which was fun. That's where you...
Oh, this is the where you sleep and they monitor you and stuff?
Yeah, so I had done a home sleep study previously, and it tells you, oh, you almost die a lot of times every hour.
Fantastic.
So you need to be put on one of those CPAP machines, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, recently I've been noted where people have told me that I haven't been snoring as much, so I decided to get retested. And this time they don't want you to do a home sleep study. They want you to actually come in and sleep in their sleep lab, which was
just for everybody or for you specifically?
For whenever you get retested. You can't do the home one. It has to be the more full-featured
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it was really weird. I had to actually go to the hospital and sleep in a little lab there. That's how I spent my Friday night, was sleeping in the hospital.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Hooked up to hundreds
Party at the
of,
hospital.
It was a rip-roaring good time. No, it was really, really weird because you're going there just to sleep. You know, you're not getting any procedures done or anything. You're just going there, and the room was done. It almost looked like a hotel room. It wasn't like a normal hospital room. It had a TV. It had carpet. It was nice, I guess.
It wasn't
the cold tile floors of a hospital.
What star rating would you give it?
Yeah, I'd only
on Yelp.
I'd only give it like a 2. There was no continental breakfast the next morning.
Come
you know,
on.
So yeah, it was.
Isn't that the worst?
It really was. There was no robe or slippers on the pillow.
I gotta tell you. Well, I don't know about the mint on the pillow, but I gotta tell you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
you have a real complaint.
I stayed at a hotel recently, and yeah, they didn't do complimentary breakfast. I was like, are you kidding me?
Those bastards.
Yeah, I thought that was like a thing. Why? I don't know.
Rich wanted his breakfast.
I wanted my breakfast. Yeah.
I hope you let them have it on Yelp.
Yeah, 2 stars.
2 stars. There you go. Yeah, no breakfast, automatically 2 stars.
Come on. You cheap bastards.
Yeah. I know, right? How much does some toast and eggs cost?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Just something simple.
You gotta whip something together. There's little tiny mini boxes of cereal. Anything.
Come on, hotel. Step your game up.
Yeah. But I didn't get any complimentary breakfast either, but the staff was very nice. But yeah, basically I just went to the hospital to sleep. They hooked me up to hundreds of wires. They measure everything from the movement of your legs to your heart rhythm to your brain waves to how your eyes move. You know, they put a whole bunch of little nodes around my eyes. It was wild, and it was super uncomfortable because you can't really sleep with all that stuff attached to you. And the hospital lost power in the middle of the night, which means that the air conditioning wasn't working. So I was sweating up a storm.
Oh no!
So the results are going to come back. Like, how are you even alive? You know?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They didn't have like a backup generator or anything?
I don't know. I was told this when I woke up in the morning.
Oh, I would have
I was hooked up to hundreds of wires in the middle of a test. I couldn't just leave. I powered through it like a champ.
They didn't put the air conditioner back on?
It stopped working.
Oh my God, no.
It was only briefly.
I'm gone.
You're so serious right now.
Yeah, I can't believe you.
What was I supposed to do?
I would have ripped the cords out.
I gotta get out of here.
I personally can't sleep. I really can't.
Neither could I. And I'm like, all I could think of was like, this is gonna ruin the test.
Yeah, doesn't that ruin the test then if you can't sleep?
I don't know. We'll find out in a few weeks' time.
I'm not
a
doctor, but I would think you can't get a sleep assessment if you can't sleep.
Well, they had a survey, and I put it down on the survey that it was really hot and uncomfortable. So I'm hoping that they take that into account, you know, and only measure the actual time when I was asleep. But we'll see.
Yeah, no, I would have laughed.
It was quite the adventure. I'll say that, yeah.
No, you're. I would have got out of there. I would have went to a hotel.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting way to spend a Friday. Not my first choice of how to spend a Friday.
No.
But an interesting one. But on a more fun note, I also got a chance to watch Shazam, DC comics movie. It's one of those DC movies that I don't think DC was involved in at all because it was actually good.
Yes.
You could tell that they didn't meddle with it at all because it was actually really funny. If you don't know the basic premise, it's this kid gets this ability to turn into this superhero. The superhero version is an adult, so it's like it's almost like the plot of Big, kind of, except he's a superhero. So it's really, really funny because it's blending the childish antics and way of talking in this like really muscular looking superhero, and so that contradictory, you know, image had a lot of humor. Just the way that he presented himself, he's trying to act like an adult, like, oh yes, I just came for my job at the business office. And the character's like, business office?
Of course.
You know, it's stuff that we would say,
right,
you know,
yes.
being the adultly adults that we are.
Yeah.
But
I have grown-up things I must attest to.
Very grown-up things to do. But it was that type of humor, and it was a lot of fun. It was very lighthearted. But it also had really great, strong messages about, you know, families can be non-traditional, and you can find family in anywhere. You know, it doesn't just have to be like biological family is your family. And so it was a really strong message that ran throughout the film. It was just really, really good. And it was kind of dark too at parts. One character straight up murdered somebody by throwing them out a skyscraper.
Bam.
And I was like, wow, that was like out of nowhere.
It's DC.
Yeah. I was like kind of because it's all very jokey and kiddie until then. And like, boom, right out the window. I was like, oh, crap, that dude just straight up murdered him.
Wake up.
Yeah.
There you go.
But
no, you're absolutely right. It's one of those movies that I think DC had, they probably labeled that as zero chance of it being a hit. So they were just like, go ahead, you do whatever you want to do. We're going to be over here. And it ends up being a hit for DC.
Yeah, they couldn't care less about it. And it was fantastic. And also, I don't know if you realize, it's all set in Philly.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
I didn't realize that until it started up. I'm like, oh, that's Philadelphia.
Yep, Philly. Like,
step the buses, and they're on the rocky steps. And I was like, oh, wow. The cop has his lunch he bought from Geno's. And I'm like, I don't know if a Philly cop would get lunch from Geno's.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a tourist trap.
Right, exactly. But it was cool to see all those things there, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely go check it out. Shazam, really, really good.
Yep.
It's available to rent on demand currently.
Yep.
So.
And again, yeah, just one of those decent movies that DC had no part directly in it. They just thought, you know,
you can tell
do
what,
your own little thing.
Exactly. You could tell what DC movie is going to be good based on the amount of press it gets. And Shazam got no press, ergo, it must be good.
Yep.
Because the ones that they hype up, like Suicide Squad, Batman versus Superman, woof, no sir.
Yeah.
I paid money in theaters to see Suicide Squad. It's the only time that I really, really wanted my money back at a movie theater.
Yeah, that was that wasn't that great of a movie. But
no. But anyway.
Nice try, DC.
So that's what I did. I slept. I watched Shazam. We had a birthday party for my cousins. So my weekend was busy. What were you up to, Rich?
Yeah, it was just trying to fight the heat. I mean, this past weekend was my personal hell. Like, I can't stand this weather. Like, it was.
So how did you beat the heat then?
I tried to just stay inside and stay in air conditioning as much as I could. I mean, it was It was oppressive heat. It was 100 degrees.
But the heat index was like 110.
Yeah, and it was 100 degrees. It was high humidity, but there was no break for like four days straight.
Yeah.
So what it does is it just compounds the heat more and more as you get further and further into the weekend.
Right.
Thankfully, Monday it started to let up with a storm that came through. So now we're back to at least livable temperatures.
Just regular brutal summer weather. Not.
Oh, I don't know. I am one of those people. I love the cold. I don't understand the summer. I don't understand why people love this weather.
You don't understand the summer, like the concept of the entire season.
Well, yeah, I understand the season, but I don't understand why people love it.
People really like it.
Yeah.
People spend time outdoors in the summer. And that shocks
me. My girlfriend went to a concert on Sunday outside.
Wasn't it like 110 degrees?
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to stay at Xfinity Live. And I planted my ass. I sat down. I watched the Phillies on a big screen jumbo TV at Xfinity Live while she went to go see this concert.
In air conditioning with food and drink.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way to do it.
Yep. That's also called compromise, folks. We both went to South Philly in the sports complex, but we both did different things.
Hey, you know, whatever works, whatever keeps you guys happy, right?
Yeah, because I was not going to go outside and sweat.
Oh, God, no, not for like 3 hours straight, no. Probably.
Well, she came in and, you know,
got a break from the heat. Yeah.
But no, personally, I don't care who's playing. It would have to be freaking, you know, Ghost or something. But Ghost would never go outside in 100 degree weather with their
Ghost
costumes.
Ghost guest starring the Rolling Stones.
I love how you put the Rolling Stones as the guest stars.
Yeah.
There'd be no way that would happen.
No, just the two bands that just happen to be in the same city at the same time. They're like, why don't we just play a few sets together?
Me, Kyle Dee! Yeah. All right, let's see how we do this. No! I'm trying to go from John Mulaney's bit about Mick Jagger. No! I want to play fast! Yeah!
So yeah, if that was happening on stage, would you brave the weather for that?
Maybe. Maybe for that. But that would never happen in a million years.
Don't say never.
No, that's never going
to
happen.
Make it happen, Rich. Anything can happen if you believe hard enough.
Maybe in my mind, but in my air-conditioned mind,
there you go.
That would happen, but no, that would have never happened in real life. But anyway, so that's what I was trying to do. I was just trying to avoid the heat. I think I did a pretty good job because I didn't get sunburn, and
that's always good. You don't want to get sunburn. That's bad for you.
No, it's legit, man. The worst part is heat like that. You don't even realize it because you could just be, you know, maybe just walking a block or two or something. And if you're as pale as I am, that's enough. You know, like, if you spend any, you know, direct amount of time in that vicious of a heat, it can happen. You know, you can easily get sunburn.
I used to not get sunburn, but I sunburn very easily now.
Yeah, no, I've always sunburned very easily. So me and the sun are not friendly. So
you're not on speaking terms, you and the sun.
Not during the summer. I can't stand it. So I was very happy that we finally got out of it. The heat finally broke. We're now at regular summer weather, which for me is still kind of hot, but
it's bad, but it's not as bad.
Yeah, after coming out of this past weekend, I will take anything that's less than 98 degrees, because that was atrocious. And I will never understand why people love the heat and love being outside, because that was my own personal hell this past weekend. So I made it through. We're okay.
I'm glad to hear you're safe and sound from the summer weather.
Yes. If you follow me on Twitter, I was tweeting about it, and I was, you know, hey, anybody that wants to come at me and say you love the summer, go ahead and explain why. But personally, I will never understand it. I can't, you know, it's just, I hate it when I'm not doing anything and I'm sweating.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
You just feel like you're baking. Yeah. You just feel like you're standing in a giant microwave.
Yeah. Like, how do people get work done? Like, I can't even concentrate on, like, things I want to do if I'm sweating bullets.
Oh, yeah. If you're uncomfortable, I mean, you can't focus. You can't think.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we're out of the oppressive heat and we're back to regular summer heat. And God willing, we'll zoom right to the fall. And one of the ways that we're going to know it's going to be fall soon is when we get to the countdown of football, which will be coming up very soon. And I think that's a good transition into our first batch of topics that revolve around sports. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Oh, yeah. And the first two topics we're going to hit in 2 minutes or less, and they do revolve around football. So, Mike, you'll be happy. And hopefully that makes me cooled off as we get to the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
That's right. I'm ready. Let's get it started.
All right, go.
This week in the two-minute drill, as you said, we have some football news. As we're desperately waiting for football to herald in the fall, we have a little bit of news here to tide us over. It's always sad when one of the greats steps away from the game. And this week, we have to look back fondly on one of the most prolific Philly sports icons of all time. Former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Mark Sanchez has officially retired from the NFL. That's right. The Sanchez made the decision to leave football at the age of 32 after spending 10 years in the league on five different teams. His longest stint with a team was the 5 years he spent with the New York Jets, during which time he led the team to back-to-back AFC championship games. But he also, of course, became notorious for the infamous butt fumble during that time.
Woo, yeah!
Yeah, that sort of became his hallmark, was the butt fumble. Of course, Sanchez also spent time with the Eagles, playing in 13 games over two seasons in 2014 and 15. Sanchez leaves the game without many wins to his name, but he is moving on to bigger and better pursuits, landing a lucrative TV deal with ABC ESPN to become a college football analyst. That's good for him that he was able to transition his professional career into a broadcast career.
Yeah, but I gotta say, you will never live down the butt fumble. I was actually watching that game with a bunch of Jets fans, which made it even more hilarious because they were just in just complete and utter disgust that it happened.
You're just watching the train wreck as an innocent bystander.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just watching the fire escalate into chaos, and it was glorious.
Oh, those were the good old days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of good old days, don't you want to go back to 2018 when Carson Wentz was ranked third overall in the NFL's top 100 players? Because this year, he fell all the way to number 96 on the list. What's up with that?
Yeah, that is a load of crap.
I mean, he did have a pretty rough year last year.
He did, but not to warrant that big of a drop.
Yeah.
Dumb!
Is that like the biggest drop ever? Because that's kind of... I mean, that's 93 spots.
Yeah, but to be fair, the NFL top 100, they do make a distinction that it's only based on performance from the previous year. So
right, and he did have a rough year, but yeah, that's a pretty big drop. He had better stats than some other quarterbacks, though.
Yes, he did. But you know, I guess it all comes down to the whole injury thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a topic for the fall. We're getting close.
Yes,
they're starting training camp.
Yeah.
It's almost time for the preseason. I'm really excited.
It's almost time.
But before we get to football, there's one sport that we have to bid adieu to, Rich. One of your favorite sports.
Yeah. Golf. So the last major happened this past weekend, the British Open, and that officially wraps up the golf year for the most part, unless there's something crazy that happens. But the major championships come to an end with the British Open now. And it was... you know, I'm trying to be as positive as I can, but I gotta admit,
uh-oh, that doesn't sound good.
I gotta admit, this one was fairly kind of non-eventful. Shane Lowry, he pulled away in the third round on Saturday, and he pretty much had very little competition on Sunday. So unfortunately, it wasn't that. You know, the last three majors, we kind of got lucky because the last nine holes were all very exciting for each major. You know, there were storylines. There were two or three golfers in the hunt, you know.
Right.
So we kind of got lucky the last couple of majors. This one, Shane Lowry, he was just playing very well, and he just didn't give up the lead. The closest that anybody came to Ireland's Shane Lowry was Tommy Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
Yeah, he could have had a shot. He got within three strokes going into the 14th hole, which that's manageable. That's three strokes over four holes. That can happen. You know, that's enough to...
Yeah, you hit a birdie every time and the other guy hits a bogey or two.
Yeah, that's enough to threaten the lead. But unfortunately, on the 14th, Fleetwood kind of got a little bit careless. First, he ended up in a sand bunker. And then when he got in the sand bunker, I think he tried to drive directly to the green. But unfortunately, when you're playing links golf and it's you know, tough conditions, the ball placement is very important, because he tried to go for the green, and unfortunately, when he pitched it out of the bunker, the ball landed in a very high, rough grass area.
Ooh.
And when you go from, that's essentially going from, you know, from
one obstacle to another.
Yeah, you're essentially just trading hazards at that point.
Right.
You know, that doesn't really help you out. So he had to go from that to a really high grassy area. He had to pitch it, didn't get anywhere close to the hole. He ended up double bogeying that hole. Ooh. And then, yeah, that's it.
That's nasty for, I mean, that stage in a professional golf tournament.
You know, that's enough for Shane Lowry to regain his comfort level, and he pulled away with a commanding 6-stroke victory. So,
yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, this wasn't as competitive as the last couple of majors have been.
That's a shame. I was going to say, I'm looking at the top five here, and there is such a gap between Lowry and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's a testament to Lowry. He was just playing really well. He wasn't making dumb mistakes. He was just handling the course really well.
So you would rather a close match than seeing one particular person really shine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless we're talking about like a Tiger Woods performance where he's setting a course record or something.
Right.
Like there was one time where Tiger Woods shot like 21 under par.
Wow. Like, I know nothing about golf, but that seems extraordinary.
Yeah. Like if we're talking about something like that, oh, then it's interesting to watch, because then you want to see like, can he get the course record or something.
So unless it's a performance of a lifetime, you'd rather see it close than watch one person just dominate.
Oh, yeah. Because then you get into strategy, because I know you're going to laugh. You think golf, you know, doesn't really entail it, but there is a little bit of strategy if you're going into like the last five holes and there's only a stroke or two that separates the top two or three golfers.
I guess you take riskier shots.
Right. If someone takes riskier shots and they mess up, then you play safer shots. Or if they take riskier shots and they actually make their shots and they make it to the green quicker than you do, then you've got to answer back.
Right.
So it does make the game different.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be in my eyes, that would be the preferred way to close out the, you know, the major with, you know, some competition going into the last five holes.
I'm sure Lowry fans though were overjoyed that he had a comfortable lead.
Oh yeah, Ireland.
Has he won many times before?
No, this is his first major.
Oh wow.
So Irish eyes are smiling because one of their own, Shane Lowry, pulls off the win. How appropriate too at the British Open.
Right.
So you know,
close to home.
Right. You know. The UK holding their own
right.
in this one. There's also something else we have to mention here that is significant, and that's the golfer name that we love to pronounce, Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka.
Say it again. Brooks
Koepka.
It's so much fun to say. He finished in a tie for fourth place, which, if you notice, that means for 2019, he finished every major in the top five.
Wow, that's really impressive.
That's super impressive. That's only happened 5 times in PGA history.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've said this a few times this past year, but I feel like he doesn't have enough, you know, household name recognition. You always go back to like the big names like Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy because they're on video games and, you know, magazine covers and everything. But this Brooks Koepka, he continues to fly under the radar of the general non-golf following public like myself.
Yep, but for those that do follow, his talent has been noted. He remains the world number one golfer in terms of ranking. So Brooks Koepka, as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the best years a golfer has ever had. I mean, top five at all.
That's high praise.
Top five at all majors and winning the PGA Championship. I mean,
can he do it again next year? Because we were having these conversations a few years ago about what's-his-face.
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth, who's done literally nothing. So that's the question. Can he do this again next year?
Yep. Well, right now, until he messes up, I'd say he's going to do it. I find no reason to doubt him.
And he's still young, right?
Yeah. So I think right now it's Brooks Koepka's PGA Championship, PGA Tour to rule over as we head into 2020. And then one more funny note I want to mention before we officially wrap up the British Open, because sometimes golfers are just like us, you know? That's the one thing I love about golf is, you know, sure, the professionals are an elite level and they hit amazing shots and they do things that, you know, the normal golfer, me and you, could never do and everything. But sometimes, you know, things go the wrong way.
Okay.
You know? And boy, Henrik Stenson, he did not finish the British Open very well. He was already playing pretty poorly on Sunday. And then he had this horrible shank going to the green. The ball actually landed in the stands, past the stands, and it went out of bounds area. You can clearly tell it was a shank. The ball did not go at all where he wanted it to go. And he got so angry, he actually took the golf club and went full Bane and snapped it in half over his knee.
Oh, man, that's expensive
yes.
equipment there to just destroy. But I guess at that level, when you're having a rough time of it and then you hit a shot like that, I can just imagine the frustration building in him, you know?
Yeah, it was very angry. Yeah.
Actual audio from the event.
Right. That might have actually, I think that was actually Stenson on the course there. Yeah. So
I can't believe he went all the way to Britain to get that audio. Yes. Capture it live. Nice.
Yes. Very important. But yeah, he literally just Bane just snapped it in half. So
now let me ask a question. Because in football, there's, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yes.
So
yes, the answer is yes.
There were repercussions for this.
He's gonna face a fine. Yeah.
Oh wow, oh, yeah. A fine for that.
Oh yeah, that he's not gonna get off. Mm-mm.
Because I imagine that golf has an image to maintain. You can't just be snapping golf clubs.
No, he's definitely.
They're all prim and proper with their little, you know, cucumber sandwiches and golf claps. And
he's definitely gonna get a fine by the RNA, because that's their golfing body in Europe.
So what are their fines like? Are they like football fines, completely random and arbitrary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we'll find out what Stenson gets later on in the week. But oh yeah, he'll definitely get some sort of ungentlemanly, you know, unsportsmanlike fee or something. Yeah, because that is not kosher with the RNA.
Yeah. Well, they have an image to maintain.
Yeah. So there you go. That officially wraps up the golf season for us.
So
I'm a little sad.
How do you feel? I mean, about this past golf season. Now that it's come to a close, was it good? Was it bad?
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch Brooks Koepka pretty much just accelerate his career. I mean, again, historic year for him, top five finish in all the majors. And of course, I will still stand by that Tiger Woods winning the Masters earlier this year might go down as the most shocking moment of 2019.
We were shocked for sure.
That just, you know, Tiger really showed a lot of poise in winning the Masters earlier this year. I think unless something crazy happens, you know, later on, maybe in the World Series or something, Tiger Woods winning the Masters is going to be the most shocking moment of 2019, I think.
Okay, so a headline, a banner year for golf.
I think so.
In that regard, between Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods and the changing format of the timeline of the...
That's right. This was also... Yeah, you're right. This was the first year that we had this new order of the majors. So we had the Masters, then the PGA Championship, then the U.S. Open, and then ending with the British Open.
So very memorable year for golfers and golf fans.
Yeah, it was a big year, so... it was exciting to watch, and I'm glad that I got to watch most of it, but I am sad to see it end here in 2019.
That's all right. We'll have football in about a month's time.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
That's perfect for you. You're just going from one to the next.
You got to admit that golf did the right thing here. They realized that the PGA Championship was getting too close to the NFL preseason.
You got to step off.
And, you know, they decided to move it back.
I completely agree. That's the one thing I agree with golf on. Now, all they need to do is add more windmills and ramps and, you know, other obstacles for mini golf courses and put a timer on that freaking thing, and you got me sold.
All right. Well, I don't know.
ABC tried it. It was terrible.
Yeah, but. ABC already has the rights to that, so that's never going to happen in PGA. But there you go. That officially wraps up the golf year. So unless something else happens, that'll probably be the end of golf talk here in the Sports Sampler. So, Mike, thank you for dealing with all of my crazy golf news.
No problem, buddy.
All right. But before we officially wrap up the Sports Sampler, there's one more thing that I want to play here on the Sports Sampler. This is hilarious. So we've been covering the NBA free agency headlines and everything that's been happening.
Or lack of headlines for some particular teams.
For some. And the reason why Mike says that is because the franchise that we keep coming back to as the one that just seems to be the most, the one that seems to be just most like a loser, or the one that's in like the worst state, just seems to be the New York Knicks. I mean, it's just bad. They lost out on Zion in the draft. They made zero headlines during free agency. They didn't get any of the big name agents. They didn't get Kate. They didn't get Kevin Durant. They didn't get Kyrie Irving. They didn't get Anthony Davis. They didn't get Jimmy Butler.
A lot of players changing teams, and they whiffed on every single one of them.
Yes, that's right. To give you an idea of how bad it is, I want to play this clip first. This is from the great Urinating Tree. He's a great.
You follow some weird people on YouTube, Rich.
Yes, he's a sports commentator. And here you go. To sum up how bad the Knicks are in 2019, I'm just going to let Urinating Tree explain it.
And now for everyone's favorite barrel full of laughs, everybody laugh at the Knicks.
You didn't get KD or Kyrie. How many L's can a team take in a decade? Oh, Durant and Irving are coming to New York, all right. They're going to the Nets. But hold up, it gets even better. Remember what I said in the NBA Finals video? You'll get Anthony Davis after a massive overpay in max contracts to, let's say, Chris Middleton and Tobias Harris. It's even worse than that. They didn't even get them. What's behind the curtain, everyone? Julius Randle. Bobby Portis. Tash Gibson. Wait. That's not the kicker. They're all power forwards. How's that Knicks tradition, boys? You're second fiddle in your own f***ing city. Good job. Imagine being such an insecure little bitch that you get triggered over people telling you the truth. I'm going to echo what everyone else has said for years. Sell the f***ing team. The Knicks will be just like your house band for as long as you own them. An irrelevant laughing stock. The Nets haven't had their first round pick in 5 f***ing years, yet their future is so much brighter. At least they don't piss off their players at every turn.
So there you go.
That was scathing.
Urinating Tree putting everything into perspective.
Scathing but accurate.
Yeah, that just everything. It goes from the owner to the front office.
Yeah.
Just how bad they've been the last couple of years.
We've actually talked about them a few times. You mentioned the owner. Like, he's done some weird and crazy stuff. And
yeah, he ejects people when they criticize his ownership.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole team is just the perfect definition of dysfunction.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, from start to bottom. From start to finish, I mean. And so, you know, for anybody that's a Knicks fan, it's probably tough to wake up in the morning and check the sports headlines, because it seems like every day it gets worse and worse for Knicks fans. One of the biggest Knicks fans that is popular is Stephen A. Smith. He's on ESPN. He's one of the commentators on First Take and all the other shows.
We featured him before as well.
That's right. Well, we're going to feature him again because I guess someone felt really bad for Stephen A. Smith, because he's obviously been freaking out that the Knicks have done absolutely nothing in this free agency period. And they decided to cheer him up and I guess maybe in a way, maybe cheer all Knicks fans up and create the Stephen A. Smith song.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So they took a couple of his sound bites and put it into a song. Are you ready to hear it?
Absolutely.
All right, here it is. The Stephen A. Smith song.
Tonight, that's number one. You drive me nuts. You're talking junk. Must be on drugs. Number two, take notes. I'm about to educate you. What? That's impossible. I said zip it. Enough is enough. Number two, stop. I told you what LeBron's going to do. So disrespectful, disrespectful. And no reason to be so disrespectful, disrespectful to the MVP. So disrespectful, disrespectful to the mayor of South Bay. Disrespectful, disrespectful, disrespectful. This man can defend. 32 and 10,
love
Rick, just stop.
What? Don't play yourself,
Skip. Nice. So disrespectful, disrespectful. And no reason to be so disrespectful, disrespectful to the league. MVP. So disrespectful, disrespectful to use your respect. Don't be disrespectful, disrespectful. You ain't making any sense. Congrats.
So there you go, the Stephen A. Smith song.
Wow, they did a good job with that.
And also, if you own a copy of NBA 2K19... someone also made him a player model as well, and that's his hype video.
Nice.
So, I guess it's going to suck for the next couple of years, But you could have Stephen A. Smith on your virtual Knicks team.
I mean, at least that way they'll sign one player.
Yeah! Yeah! They got one player.
You gotta look at the bright side, right? Gotta look at the bright side.
Yeah, so there you go. Sorry to all the Knicks fans. That's the best we can do in these trying times. But
our deepest sympathies.
Right, our deepest sympathies as you guys try and watch, I guess, NBA basketball?
Does it count?
Does it count? I don't know.
I would say it's more like college basketball, but they're actually good.
Yeah.
Maybe high school basketball.
Maybe. So there you go. That's what we have for you this week in the sports sampler. A lot of interesting news. But you know what the good part is Mike is absolutely right. We're getting closer to football. We're almost
there.
Right. We're you know, training camp, the players are reporting to that. And then it'll be preseason and then the regular season. It's coming up faster than you think. So we're all looking forward to that. But there's much more show still to come as well. We got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We are looking forward to the rest of the show that's still to come. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler. We had a lot of interesting topics there with the teaser of football, the end of golf, and trying to console Knicks fans with the Stephen A. Smith song. But we're leaving the sports world, and we're going right into the second part of our show, where we go over some movies, TV, and video game news in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Should be at least a two-star admiral by now. Yet here you are, Captain. Why is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
Oh, yeah, you knew I was going to have to talk about this.
Oh, absolutely.
The beginning of Top Gun Maverick. The trailer was released at the San Diego Comic-Con, and I am thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled.
This has been a long time coming for you.
I'm really surprised that it actually got realized and it's officially here, and there's a trailer, and the hype is through the roof, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people are really excited. I'm surprised because when we first heard rumors about it, it sounded like a joke. A Top
yes.
Gun sequel 30 years later, you know, and it didn't seem real, but here we are.
Right, because Hollywood has run out of ideas. So here we go. We're going back into the danger zone with Top Gun 2. But I got to admit, the trailer actually looks pretty good.
It does.
I was really surprised.
It's pretty dramatic, and it looks like it's taken a character angle there with Maverick, you know, about how his career sort of stalled out, and don't know. It seems like it could be interesting.
Yeah, and it helps. You got Ed Harris. You know, yeah. he always adds some credibility to media. Yeah. I'm actually gung ho for it. I think it could work.
I'm excited because it's lost that 80s sort of campiness. You know what I mean? I don't know how you feel about
no,
that.
No, how dare you? There better be some 80s campiness in it.
God, I hope not.
Yes. Did you see that there's a beach football game?
No, I missed that.
There's like a 2-second clip of something happening with a football on the beach.
Oh, God.
So, yes, there's going to be something.
Are the boys going to be playing again?
Yeah, something like that. We got to have the Kenny Loggins music.
Playing with the boys.
Yeah, there's got to be something like that. And
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
It's a little too campy.
It's football. You should love it. I mean, it's football.
Yes, football is amazing, but just the campiness of it all, I don't know. Well, we'll have to wait and see how it is when it actually comes out. But, you know, I have to admit, it does look pretty exciting.
No, we got to have Playing with the Boys.
Wow, you just had that ready to go. Your whole Top Gun playlist, apparently.
Duh, I have the soundtrack. What do you think? I don't have the soundtrack?
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. Not in the least.
Yes. This is what plays in my head when I play a pickup game.
It's just, you can feel the 80s just oozing off of it.
Right.
Just all the cheese, layers of cheese.
It doesn't have to even be that long. It just has to be just like 30 seconds. I'll be happy with it.
I wouldn't be totally surprised if they didn't throw some sort of reference or callback to it in there somehow.
There's got to be something.
Yeah.
There's got to be that. I said to you during the break, there's got to be something where somebody drops a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you did mention
that. That happens all the time in the first Top Gun. And I want to see the Val Kilmer bite. That's got to happen, too, at some point.
Okay.
I want to see that.
you have a lot of requirements for this movie.
That's it. Those are my only three things. Okay. That's it.
So is this going to be an opening weekend watch for you then?
It might have to be. I'm very curious to see how this movie pans out.
It's always been sort of a head scratcher how much you love Top Gun.
I love Top Gun.
I know you do.
It's so cheesy. I love it.
It's like a bad joke that's so bad it becomes good again.
Right.
It's so cheesy that it's like secretly kind of good again.
Yeah. It's one of those films that if you seriously analyze, you can't believe just the decisions that were made in making this film.
Right. Like the shirtless beach volleyball game.
Yeah.
That's totally not homoerotic at all.
How about the fact that when he tries to pick up the teacher, he doesn't know that she's the teacher yet, Charlie. He just thinks she's just some random woman. His method is to go up to her, sing with a bunch of Navy cadets, you've lost that love and feeling, and then confront her in the women's bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah, that would not have flown in the Me Too movie.
I need to rewatch this movie because that just sounds totally outlandishly fake, but I know it's not.
Yeah, no, that's actually the beginning of Top Gun.
Yikes. Yeah, so hopefully it cuts down on the campiness a little bit.
But I still want something like the beach volleyball scene.
Okay.
But make it beach football.
Beach football. Okay.
There's definitely a shot of football happening.
Oh, okay. All right. That doesn't mean anything.
Yes,
but
it does.
Okay. I love how you're like picking it apart. You're like, oh, this is where they're going to bring a callback to this 80s song. And I don't know.
There better be some good, solid beach sporting activity.
Some good, wholesome, not homoerotic at all beach activities with the boys.
Yes, I expect this.
Okay.
Don't disappoint me, Tom Cruise. Come on.
Tom Cruise is looking out for you and you specifically, Rich. He's going
to
put it in.
It doesn't have to be that long. I just want like 30 seconds of it just so I can laugh in my
seat.
And
I'm sure there's going to be.
Yes.
There's going to be some sort of callback or reference.
Yes.
But yeah, I was very surprised by just the very warm reception that it got from fans and the media. Everybody's been buzzing about it.
The trailer looks pretty good. And you know, adding Ed Harris, I think, adds some credibility to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to the sequel, Top Gun Maverick. We'll see how Maverick has handled life as now being one of the teachers at the Top Gun program, and I don't know, maybe
that'll
has
be
like
an interesting
maybe has like a midlife crisis or something, or maybe there's like a pupil that kind of reminds him of him or something. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yep. All right, now it's time to move into something else that's coming into the future, but more immediate in the future. It's time for the segment where Mike goes over what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I may not know my flowers, but I know a bitch when I see one.
All right, Mike, wow. What do you have for us?
I love that quote. I don't know why. It's just amazing. But this movie is certainly not going to be very bitchy. This is, of course, Quentin Tarantino's 9th film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, hits theaters this week. As with every other Tarantino movie, it's fair to expect snappy, realistic dialogue, eccentric characters, and a stylish and fun film. This time, the story centers on a washed-up TV actor and his stunt double as they try for one last shot of glory in film during the final years of Hollywood's golden age set in the late 60s. Critics are already loving it, propelling the film to a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 89 on Metacritic. I am really excited for this film, and I totally forgot that it came out this week until earlier today.
Yeah, so we can go see it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be down the shore.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you can go see it.
Yes.
And tell everybody how it is at some point. Yeah, yes. But I'm really excited for this. A huge Quentin Tarantino fan. It's got me a little nervous, though. This is his 9th film. I've heard before that he said he's only going to do 10.
Yeah, so we're coming to the end.
Yeah, is this the end game for Quentin Tarantino? We'll find out.
Yeah.
But there is something ending this week in television. Orange is the New Black returns to Netflix for its 7th and final season this Friday. The critically acclaimed show was one of the series that originally put Netflix's streaming service on the map, at the time testing the boundaries of what was deemed quote-unquote acceptable for TV, with a nearly entirely female and minority-based ensemble cast and stories that dealt with heavy social topics and morally gray storylines, all while mixing in that dark humor. After 6 years, fans have become invested in a huge cast of complicated and diverse characters and have challenged themselves with the ethically ambiguous plots that drive this narrative. Critics are responding favorably so far, so fans should be excited for one last visit to Litchfield Penitentiary. I'm very excited for this upcoming season. Orange is the New Black has been one of my favorite Netflix shows, right alongside Stranger Things. It's great. I just love that unique blend of humor and drama, and it doesn't pull many punches when it comes to social issues and these morally and ethically ambiguous plot lines, and it really makes you stop and consider the fact that these women who are quote-unquote bad people because they're in prison aren't really bad. It skews that line between what you expect good and bad characters to do and act like and look like. So it's really, really interesting. I've been a huge fan of the series for several years now, so I'm really looking forward to the 7th and final season of Orange is the New Black premiering on Netflix this Friday. That's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike. One more thing I want to add to that, just a random video game note, is I noticed on the PlayStation Store that Batman Arkham Asylum and Batman Arkham City remastered for the PlayStation 4 is on sale right now for $8.
Okay.
So I would just like to say, if you didn't get into the whole Batman Arkham franchise, this is now the perfect time to do so. You can literally start with Arkham Asylum, Arkham City for $8. And then if you like those two games, you can move right into Arkham Knight. And you can do it on the cheap right now, so I would highly recommend it.
$8 for those two games is an absolute steal.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking tons and tons of hours of gameplay and really great story.
It's an amazing story.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And, for my money, one of the best superhero games out there. Yeah. I think second only to the most recent Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
But for Batman fans especially, it is an absolute must play.
Yeah, so if you hadn't gotten a chance to play the Arkham games, I think that's what you got to do this weekend. Go to, I don't know. I don't know if there's an Xbox equivalent, but if you go on a PlayStation store, it's $8 right now for Arkham Asylum, Arkham City.
No excuses.
Yeah, no excuses.
Pick yourself up a $10 PlayStation Network card and buy it, and then you still got $2 left over for whatever you want.
Yeah, so that would be my recommendation for video games if you're looking for something this weekend. But all right, back to movie news. Mike, I think this might be the most glorious news that you get to report on.
Oh, yes. I am super excited for this one. We have a Marvel Avengers Endgame update.
That's right. And what is it?
It is Endgame officially passed Avatar as the highest grossing movie of all time with a whopping $2.79 billion.
Mamma mia! Yeah!
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Like, such eyes?
Yes.
Oh, finally, Avatar is no longer on the top.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's well deserved that Endgame is finally the highest grossing movie of all time. It still, of course, pales in comparison when you adjust for inflation. Avatar would have earned $3.2 billion in 2019 money, but I don't care. Endgame is up there. That's all that matters to me.
Let's take the win, because I really can't believe Avatar still held the record. You know, Avatar is one of those movies that you saw, I thought it was all right, and I've never had a desire to go back and rewatch it or analyze it or anything like that.
Yeah, it was. I always say this, and it sounds like a criticism, but it was a fine movie. You know, it was good. It wasn't great. It didn't stand out. It didn't do anything particularly.
It shouldn't have the record for the highest grossing movie.
No, I sort of understand why, because at the time 3D was like the new hotness, even though it was old.
Hotness,
the new hotness. So I understand why it held that mantle for so long. But I think it's long overdue that something displaced it. And I love the fact that it was Marvel's Avengers Endgame, you know, this capstone to this 20-some movie saga. Such an ambitious project. I think it's deserving that it has all the records.
Yep. So there you go. Endgame officially now the highest grossing movie of all time.
Until the next Marvel movie. Or yeah. Star Wars movie, probably.
Come on, Star Wars. Come on, Star Wars. Here we go. Episode 9.
Episode 9 has a really good... Well, I don't know. It depends how the fans...
Yeah.
What the fans think about it.
Come on. Come on, Star Wars.
We'll talk about that in December. But until then, we have a whole slew of other Disney and Marvel news because it was San Diego Comic-Con time, and Marvel hit us with all the Avengers news.
That's right. Phase 4 officially announced at the San Diego Comic-Con. And,
wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting news to react and delve into.
Yeah, a lot of surprises, a lot of announcements, and a lot of head-scratchers. So let's just dive in straight away. The next film, we were all wondering, what's the next film going to be? You know, we have to wait nearly an entire year for it. But May 1st, 2020 will bring us the Black Widow movie. Finally, Black Widow getting her own solo piece after most of the other original Avengers got their own movies, with the exception of Hawkeye. But nobody really cares about Hawkeye.
Well,
I just had to take a dig there at him.
Yeah.
But,
well, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. So this is really exciting. Black Widow finally gets her own movie. It's a little complicated now, though. I feel like it's a little late for that to happen, given the events of Endgame.
Yeah.
But there's been some weird and quirky rumors about what the movie could possibly focus on. You had mentioned that you read something online about it being set during the 5-year time between the snap and Endgame.
Yeah, something like that. This has to be some sort of movie where she's training her protege to take over as Black Widow. And I think that's what this movie's going to do, so that whoever her protege is takes up as Black Widow, and she becomes one of the new Avengers with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and all that stuff.
The only thing that I have a problem with that storyline is because the question that will be on the tips of everybody's tongues will be, why wasn't this new Black Widow in the Endgame?
Yeah, I mean, maybe she's one of the people who got snapped. maybe something like that. But we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I'm just excited that Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow is getting a chance to be the central figure. I mean, I think it's long overdue. She's been such a fun character, and she's been in, like, every movie in, you know...
Every Avengers movie.
Yeah, well, every event, but also Iron Man 2.
Yep.
And she was in two Captain America movies.
Yep.
So she's been a central figure for a long time in the MCU. Now that I think about it, one of the oldest characters in the MCU. I mean, Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Because at the time, it was just Iron Man, Nick Fury, and Hulk, yeah. So I think it's a good thing they're doing a Black Widow movie. But there were a lot of other big Phase 4 movies that were announced. Some returning favorites. Doctor Strange is coming back in May of 2021. I love this title. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. What's up with that? We keep on hearing these mentions of the multiverse. In Spider-Man, it was briefly mentioned. We're not going to get too much into that. But this time, they're putting it front and center. Are they opening the door for possibly rewriting timelines?
Maybe. I mean, that could be a way... You know, I think it's one of those, like, dangling loose ends.
Yeah.
Just in case... Marvel wants to pull the cord and bring back Iron Man or something, you know?
Is this their emergency exit, just in case?
Yeah, this is their emergency ripcord. Like, yeah. Pull in case you want Tony Stark back.
Right, yeah.
Pull in case you want Robert Downey Jr. back.
Pull in case of emergency, yeah. I hope not. I hope that instead it will take the much ballsier approach to explore it and say, nope, definitively, that... there's no way to bring these people back. I think that would be a better tact, you know? Then maybe they deal with it, but then they find out that it's like, no, it's definitely final, and just shut the door on it once and for all. I think that would be a ballsier and a more interesting route to take.
Oh, yeah, that would definitely be more courageous to do. But I think they just want to have that just in case, you know?
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see how it all works out, especially since I'm hearing that Scarlet Witch will be a main character in the movie. So it'll be fun to see Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch, the two sort of magical characters working together in this multiverse thing. Yeah, and it's... I don't know. There's definitely going to be a big Infinity Stone angle to that, I feel like.
What do you mean Infinity Stone angle? Do you think they'll bring it back?
Doctor Strange is the keeper of the Time Stone.
Yeah.
And Wanda, Scarlet Witch, was, you know, very much connected to the Mind Stone because of Vision.
Right.
So I'm thinking you're pairing these two characters that have really big connections to two Infinity Stones together, and you're specifically mentioning multiverse in the title. I don't know. Part of me thinks, like, Wanda's going to be like, oh, let's use the Time Stone to go back and get Vision. Or, you know, whatever the excuse will be for them to investigate this multiverse. And I don't think that we're done completely with it yet.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know. I might be, like, totally off my rocker, but that's just my initial gut knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, well, we got time to discuss that, because that's not coming out till 2021.
yeah, we got plenty of time. Just like with this next movie, lots of time. Later in 2021, we're getting another Thor. Thor, Love and Thunder, is premiering in November of 2021. The big news here, of course, Natalie Portman will be returning as Thor.
Yeah, she held the hammer at the press conference.
She did hold the hammer, and people were probably a little confused. That is a comic storyline. There is a female.
This isn't out of the blue.
Right, this isn't out of the blue. This isn't, you know, like, you know, women's rights, female power, and all that stuff. Like, no, this is actually in the comics, so everybody calm down. It'll be really...
Yeah, this isn't Ghostbusters.
Yeah, no. No, they're not making this up out of thin air to try and, you know, sell more toys to young girl demographics or whatever. This is a legit storyline straight from the comics. It'll be very interesting to see how they work this, though, you know, because obviously Thor is still Thor. So is it going to deal with the fact that Thor is now running around with the Guardians of the Galaxy and he's left... He's no longer involved with the people of Asgard on Earth. You know, Valkyrie mentioned that they needed to find a new queen. Is this the new queen that they find? Jane Foster, they give her the hammer. It'll be really, really interesting. And Valkyrie is, of course, confirmed to be returning for the fourth Thor movie, which I'm really excited. I love Tessa Thompson. She's great.
Oh, okay. There you go. So that's right up your alley.
Yeah. So those are the two big name movies, but there's a lot of head scratchers joining the MCU. And this is what this next phase is all about. You know, you have to think, people are looking at these films and some of the titles and going, what is going on here? What are they doing with these weird out of left field properties? But remember, that was everybody's reaction when they talked about Thor and Iron Man and Guardians of the Galaxy.
I remember Guardians of the Galaxy. Everyone was like, what is Guardians of the Galaxy?
So let's get to these head scratchers. First up, technically in the timeline, the second Phase 4 movie, The Eternals, November 2020. What are The Eternals? I did some research. The Eternals are an evolutionary offshoot of humanity created by the Celestials. You'll remember that term because it's what Ego from Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was. He was a Celestial. So apparently, in the comics, they created these sort of superhumans, this evolutionarily different type of human being, to be guardians of planet Earth. Clearly, it did not go well because they haven't been guarding Earth.
Yeah, not very well.
Up to this point. So it'll be really interesting to see how they bring them in and what the excuse for their existence is. Is it going to be the same as the comics, you know, with the Celestials? Are they going to touch on this fact? I discovered this little tidbit in Marvel lore. Thanos is an Eternal. Of course, we don't know if they're going to talk about that, you know, he was an Eternal gone wrong or whatever. But it's just interesting that they're really doing a deep dive into the intergalactic elements of the Marvel Universe with this next phase. Not only the intergalactic, but the mystical side of it, too. We got a little bit of both. We got the intergalactic with Guardians and Captain Marvel, and we got the mystical with Doctor Strange. And now in Phase 4, we're getting a lot more intergalactic stuff and a lot more mystical stuff with this next one. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
Coming out in February of 2021. This one is the one that has people really baffled.
You know, people might be baffled, but it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
you know,
'cause how so?
It's you know, Marvel is trying to please every audience.
Right.
So after the success of Black Panther and, you know, the huge response they got from the African-American community, now they can do something with the Asian community with Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. That's going to be entirely, you know, the cast is all going to be Asian-American and there's going to be no whitewashing at all in that movie. So
that's a great point is that, you know, now that I'm really thinking about the MCU, they are trying to cover every single, not only group of people, but every single genre as well. Because you have spy movies, you have space movies, you have, you know, fantasy, and now this is, I guess, you would consider martial arts. So they're hitting every demographic, every genre as well.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this is a martial arts-focused story. The main villain is usually the Mandarin, who fans will remember from Iron Man 3. They will also remember that he was dealt with in Iron Man 3. So,
well, a fake version of Mandarin.
Right, and that's what I was going to get to, that apparently there was a short, I can't remember what the one shot was called, but it revealed that the real Mandarin, you know, was still out there somewhere. He wasn't dealt with in Iron Man 3. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, how they connect these threads from way, way back in the early phases of the MCU, if they decide to go all the way back there and go back to this traditional villain that's usually associated with this franchise. The Ten Rings part refers to rings of power that the Mandarin wears. And this is where it gets bonkers. They were fashioned from the technology of a crashed alien spaceship that belonged to dragons. So
every single fantasy element.
They're throwing everything at the board and seeing what sticks. But I got to say, you know, reading up briefly on these two new properties and seeing what Marvel has done with the previous head scratching properties, I have to say, I can't help but be a little excited.
Well, I mean, Marvel and Disney are in the driver's seat. They, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, coming from a DC perspective, you know, they have not really made a clunker yet. You know,
they haven't. They've made average movies.
Yeah,
they've made, you know, just regular, you know,
decent
run of the mill decent movies, but they haven't made a bad movie.
Right. So until that point happens, I don't see how you can, you know, really doubt, you know, what their plan is moving forward.
Any film studio that can take properties like Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor and Black Panther and make them household names, I mean, come on. I was a huge Marvel fan. I'd never heard of any of them. I've heard of them. Black Panther and Thor.
Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody
Guardians knew. Of the Galaxy, nobody had ever heard of.
Yeah.
But, like, I knew of some of these characters in passing. You hear the name, you don't know anything about them. Now Black Panther and Thor are two of my favorite Marvel franchises.
Yeah.
You know? So I can't help but be excited to learn even more about the Marvel Universe and see even crazier stuff happen. And there's still a lot of question marks as well. There's three untitled properties premiering all in 2022. There's no confirmation what they are yet. I think it's very interesting that they're left untitled in this release schedule that Disney and Marvel have put out. Marvel has confirmed that sequels to Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Guardians of the Galaxy are in the works, but nobody knows if these untitled projects belong to any of them. We also know that Blade and Fantastic Four will be part of Phase 4, but again, we don't know if any of these untitled movies will be either of those. Fantastic Four specifically is really interesting because that's one of the Fox properties that they just acquired.
And Blade is going to be Mahershala Ali.
Yes.
Which really, I think is an interesting casting call.
That's an awesome casting call. I mean, Mahershala Ali is just amazing in everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having him add a little bit of gravitas to Blade is perfect. So hopefully we'll get to see that sooner rather than later, and we'll see those movies slated in there in those untitled property slots. But I think that it's most likely going to be some sort of, you know, spoiler connected to one of the movies that hasn't come out yet, or probably an Avengers film is one of those 2022 movies.
I would have to imagine there's going to be some sort of new Avengers film.
And I'm probably sure the title will probably be New Avengers, because that is an actual name from the Marvel universe, New Avengers.
Right.
The other thing could be is if people want to know about the second Spider-Man post-credit scene, go look up Sword.
Yes, there's, Sword, yeah.
There's S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's Sword, which is the galactic
version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
branch
yeah.
of S.H.I.E.L.D. So one of these three movies could very well be the galactic New Avengers Sword. You know, there's a reason they're under wraps still.
Yeah.
And we're not going to learn about them for another few years, probably. But really exciting stuff. What's not so exciting, maybe, is that there's lots of Disney Plus exclusive shows included in the official Phase 4 schedule.
Yeah, I was curious your reaction on this. Are you looking forward to these? Because this, I'm kind of like, I think I'll skip.
So I'll have to say, I am actually looking forward to a few of them. I'm really interested to see what Loki is going to be like in spring of 2021, a show based entirely around Loki, as well as WandaVision, one based on Scarlet Witch. I'm not so sold on The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is fall of 2020. So that's the most, or the one closest to release, I guess, more than a year away. I don't know how they're going to tie in everything. So are we going to have to watch the movies in addition to the series to get the whole story? Because previously Marvel has kept the two entertainment divisions kind of separate.
Yeah.
Like all of the Netflix Marvel shows were technically part of that universe, but not really. They didn't relate to it in
And there weren't really any direct tie-ins.
No. And even the one that they had on ABC, whose name is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I will never forgive that show for the one episode that premiered after Age of Ultron. And it opens with something like, oh, I can't believe that everybody was secretly Hydra agents or something like that. I was like, what are you doing? Like, that was the first line of the show. And I was like, yo. So they try to connect it, but in the most terrible way possible.
Yeah, they
the
just,
most
they
spoilery
just,
way possible.
Yeah, just it was like a sledgehammer in
yeah.
there.
Did you ever watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, I didn't. I didn't really get into it.
It was,
but I heard about that
yeah,
fiasco.
It was decent. It was a little rough around the edges. I liked a lot of the characters, but they really struggled to tie things together. The fact that Disney is taking a stronger control of these has me feeling a little bit more certain in their quality. The fact that it's, you know, on Disney streaming service, that it has all the same actors and actresses from the motion pictures reprising their roles. These are all positive things in my mind. It'll just be interesting to see how they coordinate, you know, with splitting up the story between a movie and these series and how they work it all together, especially given the fact that, you know, some of these characters are, spoiler alert, either dead or retired or, you know, not really mainstays. Is this where these characters go to live now? Instead of a Hawkeye movie, we get a Hawkeye series.
Yeah, you're not good enough for your own movie, so you get a TV show.
Right, instead of Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, wasn't Falcon supposed to be Captain America? So is
right.
now... Is
Captain Falcon?
Is Captain Falcon? Is that story now just in the series? It'll be very interesting to see how they get all that to work. But here's a question that we always like to ask. Is this news that would make you buy Disney Plus? The idea that the MCU might be split between the movies and the TV shows. Does that concern you?
Maybe, but I don't think it's enough for me to... For me personally, it's not enough to be like, I have to buy Disney Plus now.
So you go and you watch Black Widow in spring of 2020, and they leave you with a huge cliffhanger. And then a few weeks later,
it says you got to go watch the show.
Well, that's right. They hit you with a teaser for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier fall of 2020. Do you...
I don't know, maybe. It depends on how gripping the story is. That's what's going to come down to, how the quality of the story is.
Yeah. I was planning to subscribe anyway. I know that makes you sound
yeah,
like
you
a
already
fanboy.
Were. I already knew that.
But
I'll just borrow your login information.
I mean, you're more than welcome to. If I can spread the MCU like a virus to all the people of the world, that would be totally fine by me. Okay. That sounded really weird.
Yeah,
but
it sounded like an evil villain there.
I mean, Disney. You know, everybody yes. likes to paint them as the villain. They may as well just own it.
Right.
You know, they already have, what, 5 out of the 6 in Infinity broadcast stations?
Exactly. They might as well just own up that they're basically broadcast Thanos.
They are. Look at the properties they own. It's laughably out of whack.
Yeah.
ABC and Fox, ESPN, Pixar, Marvel, and Lucasfilm.
Hulu.
Actually, that might be all 6.
Yeah, there you go.
They have the Infinity Gauntlet of entertainment.
Yeah, so watch out, Netflix. You're next.
Yeah. They're going to snap you out of existence.
Yeah.
But anyway, so San Diego Comic-Con had a lot of great news for Marvel fans. I'm really excited for the future. It's great to have some solid details on Phase 4. And I'm ready to get started. It's just a shame we got to wait a year.
Well, there's a reason why, and that's because Star Wars will reign supreme as we get into the fall and winter months.
That's right.
I can't wait because, yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about with Episode 9. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting future for movies coming up.
All owned by Disney.
Yeah. But for now, we got to wrap up the entertainment entree. But there's one more thing that we are looking forward that's coming right up immediately, and that is the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We have plenty of stories that we need to talk about in that segment. We'll be right back.
Don't be a big, stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Before we delve into the odd news, one programming note, and Mike teased about this. Next week, officially, we're going on a little bit of a summer break. Mike's going away for his summer break.
Yep.
In the meantime, though, me and Nena are going to the Philadelphia Podcast Festival, where we're going to record a live episode of the podcast on Sunday at Tattooed Moms. Stop by from 2 to 3:30. To hear our show, and that will be the episode that goes up next Thursday, to make sure that you guys are still in the loop on our podcast and everything like that, and then we will come back in August. So yeah, it's a little weird to say that.
I'm oddly excited to hear the first episode that I'm not going to be a part of. No, because, I mean, for 6.5 years, you know, you're on the creation side of it, so you know what's going to happen. There's no surprises.
Yeah, but now...
You get the episode on Thursday, you're like, oh, I remember that. But now it's like, it's a brand new thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's very exciting.
So Mike will have no idea what happens while he's away at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. So it'll be very exciting. Make sure you come out so that you know what happens on the podcast.
You'll know before I do.
Yeah, how do you like that? How do you like that for a twist?
That's alarming.
So there you go. You can be part of the madness this Sunday at Tattooed Moms for the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. When we do our live episode, it'll be me and Nena 2 to 3:30 p.m. Come on out, have a couple beers with us, and enjoy the live recording of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. All right, but right now we got to get into the odd news for this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene, but maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to be led on an epic journey, a tale of wonder and insanity.
Oh yeah, well, it definitely helps to make the journey more memorable that all of our stories this week is Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I guess Florida felt like they were taking a back seat this summer.
You know what it is? It was the heat recently.
Yeah,
across the country. No, I mean, they've done studies that says heat makes people go crazy.
Well, here you go. All
that
these
was basically the plot of "Do the Right Thing" from Spike Lee.
Well, here we go. These are all Florida stories, and this first story is weird to imagine because last week we had meth gators.
Okay,
remember?
Right? Do we have cocaine gators now?
No, we're gonna go to nuclear crocodiles.
Oh. Okay.
Because American crocodiles that were once headed towards extinction have been noticed that they are thriving at an unusual spot, the water canals that surround a South Florida nuclear power plant.
What does the decimeter say?
3.6 Rontgen, but that's as high as the meter.
3.6. Not great or terrible.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
Oh, no. What is the Otlop doing in Florida?
3.6 Rontgen. Oh my god.
What is happening there? Dear God.
I need water in my reactor core.
Yeah.
You've been waiting forever and ever to use a Chernobyl clip, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah. But
you've been trolling the news sites looking for stories about nuclear power plants just so you could pull that out.
But isn't this kind of weird?
Yeah.
What does the decimeter say?
3.6 Röntgen, but that's as high as the meter.
3.6. Not great or terrible.
Yeah,
great, not terrible.
Yeah, we got a problem here.
So is that Florida's reaction to nuclear crocodiles? Not great, not terrible?
Yeah. Maybe you can keep them as pets or something.
Yeah, well, they glow in the dark. It's like a nightlight.
Yeah.
You know? Question, is this the same nuclear power plant that had Hulkception?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
How many power plants are there in South Florida?
So let me read the story here.
Go ahead.
Last week, 73 crocodile hatchlings.
73? That's a lot.
They were rescued by a team of specialists at the Florida Power and Light's Turkey Point Nuclear Power Plant.
Wait, that is
an official name.
What was that that you just read?
The name of the power plant is Turkey Point Power Plant.
Oh my God. Why?
That is a horrible
Turkey
name.
Point. I know we have Turkey Hill, but that's ice cream and iced tea. This is nuclear power.
Yeah. Up in the north, we want turkey, you know, for Turkey Hill, ice cream, stuff like that. Thanksgiving, Florida, Turkey Point, nuclear power plant.
Turkey Point.
Energy.
I think I found it. Turkey Point Nuclear Generating Station.
Yep, that's it.
It has a 4 out of 5 stars on Google reviews.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
It has a whole Wikipedia article.
They maintain their Google rating. That's great.
It's a twin reactor nuclear power station located on a 3,300-acre site 2 miles east of Homestead, Florida. There you go.
All right, perfect.
I got
what
it.
What does the decimeter say?
3.6 Röntgen, but that's as high as the meter.
3.6. Not great, not terrible.
Yeah, so there you go. 4 stars. Not great, not terrible.
Right, not great. The best you can hope for in Google reviews. So tell us more about these crocodiles they're irradiating. Are they trying to create like monster crocodiles? Like, what's the point of this?
No, it's just these crocodiles seem to thrive at the nuclear power plant. Turkey Point's 168 miles of man-made canals that surround the nuclear power plant serve as the home to several hundred crocodiles, where a team of specialists working for the Florida Power and Light monitors and protects them from hunting and climate change. It was during this surveying of the crocodiles when they noticed a sudden increase in the local crocodile population. From January to April, FPL helps create nests and ponds for the crocodiles to nest in. And once the hatchlings are reared and left by the mother, the team then captures them, and then they are relocated to increase survival rates among those crocodiles. So, yeah, this is... We got crocodiles that like nuclear power plants.
So which is better, meth gators or nuclear crocodiles?
You know, I think on the surface, I think meth gators are going to be worse, because it just seems like the crocodiles just happen to like the nuclear.
They probably like the warmth of the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think they're actually posing a threat. Now, an alligator on meth, that's a truly terrifying thought.
That's like an energetic gator that doesn't know what the hell's happening.
Right.
And, you know.
Nuclear crocodiles, they just glow.
Right.
And they might have a third eye. And superhuman strength,
right? And you know, they might have some 3.6 rocking on them.
Well, I need water in my reactor core.
What does the decimeter say?
3.6 Röntgen, but that's as high as the meter.
3.6, not great, not terrible.
Not great, not terrible. I love that.
Yeah, it's not great, not terrible. That's what I'm looking. That's what I got.
There you go. Nuclear crocodiles. Not great, not terrible.
Right.
That's Florida's slogan from now on. Nuclear crocodiles. Not great, not terrible.
Yeah.
Visit Florida.
I think that's fair. So there you go. That's our first story there from Florida. But yeah, I got more from Florida here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. Let's get to some more traditional Florida stories here.
All right. What do you got?
Oh, I know you like weird excuses. So here you go. This one's up your alley. A Tallahassee. I mixed Tennessee and Tallahassee there.
You just really wanted this story to be from Tennessee is what it was.
Right. I really wanted to so I could play the clip.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
No, this is Tallahassee. Sorry. A Tallahassee man is behind bars on felony charges after he told police that gangsta music inspired him to pull out his gun and began dancing in his car with it. What? And allegedly pointing the gun at another driver.
Oh, come on.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays his cards right. A real gangster type player never runs his mouth, cause real gangsterized players don't start fights. And brothers always got a high cap, showing all his boys how we shot him. But real gangster type players don't flex that, cause real gangster like players know they got him.
Yeah, so probably something like this is playing in the car. I don't know.
So gangsta music made him dance with his gun out.
Yeah.
In his car.
The victim told police that she pulled next to 28-year-old Willie Lawrence while waiting for the traffic light to change. Police say that while at the light, the victim noticed that Lawrence was waving a gun wildly around in his car.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Yeah!
What an imbecile.
Ha! Woohoo!
You can't do that, man.
She said that Lawrence then turned to her and pointed the gun at her. When Lawrence pointed the gun at her, the victim said that he also started making a jerking motion, simulating the action of the gun when it's fired.
Man.
The victim told officers that she was terrified and thought Lawrence was going to shoot her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I would imagine that's what the gangsters do.
I gotta say, this doesn't strike me as gangsta music, though.
What?
It seems, like, too mellow.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster-type player plays his cards right. A real gangster-type player never runs his mouth, because real gangsterized players don't start fights.
Oh, you know what it is? Maybe, like, since he says a real gangster plays his cards right,
right,
maybe that isn't actually true gangster, and Willie Lawrence is actually being the gangster because he gets caught.
What? I totally lost the train of that.
Okay, never mind.
Okay,
the ship sailed.
He was so gangster that he was the real gangster. He wasn't gangster. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
Okay.
Anyway, so after the victim saw Lawrence playing with the gun, she then put her car in reverse and quickly drove away backwards.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, the guy is brandishing a gun at her.
Yeah, but that's pretty intense to just like.
Well, what would you do?
Reverse.
What would you do? Go just smile and laugh.
No, well, I mean, I would probably. But maybe go forward.
Well,
see where you're driving.
The light is red, though.
But the guy's putting you in danger.
Right, but what's more dangerous, driving out into an intersection where there's oncoming traffic or backing up?
I don't know. I'd say backing up because you don't know what's behind you and you're panicking.
I mean, you could look in your mirrors.
You could, but I think you're panicking. I don't think you'd be realizing.
So would you not be panicking if you drove into a four-way intersection with oncoming traffic?
I think you have a better chance of avoiding the cars because you're seeing them in front of you.
Really?
I guess. I don't know. I think it's more dangerous to go reverse.
How many movies and TV shows have you seen where they go into the intersection and then out of nowhere, you see headlights, boom, car gets T-boned, everybody's dead?
Two.
As in every yeah. TV show ever.
Yeah.
Every TV show ever. That's
I think it's just
how Remember the Titans happened.
I think it's more funny just to imagine that she just drove away backwards.
Yeah, she just just peels out backwards.
Yeah.
She's lucky there's nobody in back of her, because if there was somebody in back of her, she wouldn't be able to back up. She would have to go straight into the intersection.
Later, cops pulled over Lawrence out on the highway. When they were questioning Lawrence, police say he asked them if he could call his job and tell them he was going to be late.
Oh, jeez.
He also admitted that his driver's license was suspended.
Wow, this guy's a winner.
Yep. Well, he's a real gangster. He doesn't need a driver's license.
Right.
I think that's how the rule goes.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays his cards right. A real gangster type player never runs his mouth, because real gangsterized players don't start fights.
During the search of the car, officers found that there was a gun in his backpack in the front seat. They also found another loaded magazine to a 9mm handgun and a small container of marijuana. When officers asked Lawrence about the incident, he told them that he was originally on his way to go to work, but then he suddenly listened to gangsta music, and that's when he began dancing around the car with his gun.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays his cards right. A real gangster type player never runs his mouth, because real gangsterized players don't start fights.
So let me get one thing straight. He's on his way to work, you said.
Yes, that's what he
claims. He brings a loaded gun with an extra magazine.
Yes, just
in case.
And
marijuana.
Yes.
To his job.
Yes, very important.
Okay, just wanted to clear that up.
Yes. One round might not be enough.
Right, you need the extra magazine, just in case.
Yeah.
Does it say where he's employed?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Police say that Lawrence admitted to dancing with the gun, but he denied that he ever pointed directly at the victim.
I don't think that makes it any better.
Yeah.
Whether or not you pointed at somebody, you're still dancing around with a loaded weapon. I mean, God, you know, one wrong move, you accidentally pull that trigger, you know?
Yep.
I assume it was loaded and ready to be fired, because this is the odd news and nobody does anything safe or smart.
No. And cops agree with you, Mike, because he's being charged with aggravated assault and improper exhibition of a weapon.
Well, that makes sense. I had no idea that was a charge.
That's a charge. Improper exhibition of a weapon.
So what does that mean? Improper exhibition of a weapon? Like,
I guess that you're not handling your firearms correctly.
So, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of gray area there.
Well, I guess it works out in this case.
In this case, there's not a lot of gray area, but...
Yeah, because at the minimum, he's at least dancing with a loaded gun.
Okay. Oh, here we go. All right. So, in Florida, improper exhibition... Wow. You have a problem as a state when somebody searches improper exhibition of a weapon, and the first hit begins in Florida. Improper...
That specifically is the very, in Florida.
I misspelled exhibition, and it still came up with Florida, Rich. In Florida, improper exhibition of a firearm or weapon is the exhibiting of a weapon such as a gun or knife in threatening, angry, or careless manner. The offense carries penalties of up to 1 year in jail and possible forfeiture of the weapon. So there you go. So angry or careless manner. Required. Yeah. Oh, wow, this website's nice. Required proof. The defendant had or carried a quote-unquote weapon. The defendant exhibited the alleged weapon in a rude, careless, angry, or threatening manner, and the defendant did so in the presence of one or more persons. Threat not required. The defendant may be convicted of improper exhibition for merely carelessly, angrily, or rudely displaying a weapon. It is not necessary that the defendant make a threatening gesture with the weapon to be convicted.
So even if
carelessness is sufficient, it says.
So even if you don't have the victim at the scene, it still doesn't matter. He's still going to get that charge.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Because you can't, like if you go outside and you're just juggling your handguns.
Whee!
You know, right, exactly. Like some weird psychopathic circus clown. You know,
I'm Mr. Giggles. You want to see my guns?
Is that a Time Splitters reference?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh man, that was the deepest of deep cuts. Damn.
I'm Mr. Giggles.
Everybody, go look up Time Splitters Future Perfect.
Yes, great game.
Awesome game. But yeah, you can't be Time Splitters and not expect to get convicted of improper exhibition of a weapon.
Yeah.
That was actually, Rich, that was actually educationally fun.
Good job. All right. Well, then, we're getting too smart.
We got to dumb it way down.
Right. We're getting too smart here. So let's go with another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, all right.
Let's dumb it down. What's a dumb story?
Let's dumb it down, and let's get painful here.
Okay. Painful for who? Us or them or everyone?
The person in this story.
Okay.
A gun-toting Florida man broke into the home of his wife's lover and threatened him and then cut off the man's penis with a pair of scissors, according to police.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
You're gonna be okay! Say the goddamn words! You're gonna be okay!
Oh, God!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
Yeah, this is pretty painful.
Oh, scissors just sounds... I mean, just getting it cut off is bad. Getting it cut off is bad. But scissors sounds like even worse. Like, because with a knife, it's just like a swipe. But with scissors, it's like snip, snip.
Oh, no! God, Mike! You really had to dig deep into this.
Well, that's what you got to do with scissors.
So the victim...
Oh, my God. Why is he just standing there letting this happen?
Well, I'm going to tell you the story here.
Okay.
The victim told cops that a neighbor, 49-year-old Alex Bonilla, entered his mobile home on Sunday morning and threatened to kill him. Once inside, cops say Bonilla warned the victim that he would kill him if he resisted. So that's when he forced the victim into the bedroom, tied him up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he couldn't move. And then confronted him about his affair with his wife. And then cut off the victim's penis with a pair of scissors.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Oh, man, that's actually gruesome.
And it gets one step worse.
How?
The Bonilla actually then grabbed the severed penis and ran away with it.
Why?
He specifically wanted him to never have the penis ever again.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Oh my, that's just sick.
You're gonna be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're gonna be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Oh man, that I hope that guy goes to jail for a super long time.
So investigators reported that Bonilla was armed with a 9mm handgun. And everything did check out. The victim and his wife did have an affair, but cops were able to use the pieces at the crime scene and confronted Bonilla later on in the night, and he was arrested and charged with multiple felony charges.
Oh, geez.
He's being held in jail on a $1.25 million bond.
Wow.
So there you go. Well, Florida, bringing the hammer. There you go.
I mean,
Florida can handle a lot of crimes, but how dare you cut somebody's penis off? That is a $1 million fine.
You're gonna be okay! Say the goddamn words! You're gonna be okay!
Oh, God!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
I gotta say, he absolutely deserved every penny of that sentence.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, but...
Yeah, that's that is a...
What did you say? $1.25 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's definitely in jail. He's not getting out.
I mean, that's just gruesome what he did. And then he took the guy's penis... What are you gonna
do? And ran away with it.
Yeah,
he really wanted to make sure there was no chance of that ever being like reconnected ever again.
Jeez, did the cops get it back?
Well, if then it's at that point it's too late.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, you could say goodbye. I don't know.
You could say goodbye. What is this, a funeral?
I'm just saying.
You could say goodbye.
I mean, if you had a piece of you cut off, wouldn't you want it returned, regardless of whether or not you could have it reattached?
Oh my God,
this is...
We are gathered here today
to say goodbye. What was the guy's name?
We don't have the victim's name.
Oh, Mr. Bob's.
Bob, we're here to say goodbye to Bob's penis. He had a very active sex life. He pleased desperate housewives,
countless women
all over Florida. But unfortunately,
his time was cut short by a pair of scissors
and an angry man. It's very sad.
Very sad.
But at least we know he's in jail on a $1.25 million bond.
That does make us feel a little bit better.
Yes, we have some closure to the story. And obviously, we found the penis and we're saying goodbye to it.
Right.
It's in like a little tiny coffin.
A little tiny, yeah.
Rested on a little tiny pillow.
With little tiny flowers. Oh my God, we are sick. We are sick, Rich.
You are. You're the one to imagine a funeral.
I didn't imagine any funeral. You're the one that played the music.
You wouldn't say goodbye to it.
I didn't. Yeah, not one of my finer moments. Oh my God.
I say goodbye to it.
I'm just thinking, if I had a piece of me cut off, I'd be like, I want it back, you know? I don't want to just laying in the street all alone or something, you know?
I don't want him to be all alone by himself.
I know, in the cold or in the heat of summer, you know, no shade or water.
My little sausage. My little sausage. Come back here. I will take care of you.
Sausages!
Oh, God.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
Well, yeah, for this victim, yeah.
Yeah, no sausages. No, that's it. That's the end of that.
Oh, yikes.
So, there you go. Have a funeral for your severed penis.
I mean, you gotta send it out in style, right?
Yeah. All right. I was not expecting that on that story. All right, but I still got some more Florida stories here for the Odd News.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. Here's another psycho story that's weird to imagine.
Okay.
Florida deputies arrested a man on Friday after he left multiple threatening messages on a mayor's phone. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office said that deputies arrested 63-year-old Michael Brian Falls and charged him with aggravated stalking and threats against an elected official. The case began when Mayor John Bartis reported to the sheriff's office that he received 6 profanity-laced voicemails from an unknown man.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
In the voice messages, Falls blamed the mayor for his run-ins with deputies. He made threats such as, "When I'm done, I'm going to show you your grave, sir."
Wow.
I like the fact he put "sir" at the end. He still respects his office.
Right, exactly. You might not respect the person, but you should respect the office.
Yes, sir. I'm going to kill you, sir.
Sir, yeah.
According to the sheriff's office, other messages left on the voicemail made allegations against the sheriff's office as well that said that cops were out to get him, including an instance where he found bees and spiders in his truck and thought that the cops were trying to shut him down.
Bees and spiders?
Yeah.
How many bees and spiders are you finding?
Those damn cops! They're gonna trying to stop me!
They break into my vehicle and leave bees and spiders? If a cop... No, hold on. If a...
All right, that's some Alex Jones level.
It really
blaming.
Is, because this is some next level stupid. So if a police officer wanted to shut you down, they literally carry firearms with them everywhere.
Yes.
I don't think they're resorting to bees and spiders.
like in the back of the cop car, they have just extra bees.
Exactly. You know how in the TV shows they go to the trunk and they pull out their shotgun? Next to the shotgun, they don't show it in the TV show, but they keep a canister of bees there.
Yes.
You never know.
It's a little jar just written on it. It's bees.
Yeah. They take the jar out, they shake it up, and they smash it inside the guy's car.
Yep, and you're on your own.
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, this really is. This is
and
next.
And spiders. Don't forget spiders.
Oh, and spiders as well.
Yeah. So one canister bees, one canister spiders.
Right. Instead of grenades, they have jars of poisonous insects.
Well, you know, the budgets went down in the past year, so they can't afford.
Things are tight,
right?
You know,
so they got to collect their own bees and spiders,
right? And they try not to use them too often because then they got to go and collect all the bees again. You know, it's just. Oh, but I guess this guy was posing such a threat to them, they just had to sacrifice some bees and spiders.
Yeah,
this really is next level stupid.
So, this guy thinks cops are planting bees and spiders in his truck to stop him. Then Falls made another outrageous claim. He says that he has authority from the FBI, which is the highest security clearance in the land. Yes, so now I am also backed by the FBI.
I mean, that makes sense.
Ha ha!
this dude whose car is infested with spiders and bees, who thinks the local police are out to get him, is also a top secret FBI agent.
Yes.
The good God.
The local agents are out to get me, but on a federal scale, I'm good to go.
Yeah. You're so good at your job, you let them break into your car with bees and spiders. Wow.
Yes.
So he has authority from the FBI because he works for them, or they just granted some random citizen special authority? I'm like, I'm unclear.
What, is this a contest?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he suggesting he works for the FBI?
Yes, he says he has the highest security clearance.
Okay. Because the way it was phrased in the story made it sound like they just granted him special, like, immunity or something.
Hey, guys, it's time for the FBI lottery.
That's right. Where one lucky citizen gets full high security clearance.
You get to look up anything you want about anybody.
Yeah.
Using the power of the FBI.
What a contest.
Oh, I think we got an idea now for a new game show. I don't know about you.
I mean, I would definitely watch.
Oh, yes. Come on down to FBI Selection Lottery. You get to have the power of the entire Federal Bureau of Investigations at your fingertips.
That's right. Available for one of you to win today.
Here on FBI Lottery Show.
What games do they play to win this, Rich?
We're just selecting numbers from the lottery machine.
So it's literally just a whole show with them with a bingo roller thing. They pick a number, and that's it. That one person has the entire power of the FBI behind them.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a contest I think everybody wants to win.
Absolutely. That is terrifying.
Well, it's all possible here on FBI Lottery Show. Here's your host, Drew Carey.
Sure. Drew Carey, why not? Price is Right isn't enough. That bastard has to take the FBI show, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So this guy was the winner of the FBI lottery sweepstakes.
Yeah, apparently, because he says he has the highest FBI security clearance. So then he said, using the highest FBI security clearance, he said that if he could, he would get the mayor into a room and yell shoot, and then the FBI could shoot him.
What? Just any room? Just any room.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him in a room and yell shoot, and that's it. They're going to get him.
So that's the bonus round of FBI lottery show.
You get to straight up murder someone.
Yes, you get to choose one person.
Wow.
And that's it. They're done.
This is a terrifying future you're creating, but I want to watch.
It's FBI lottery show. Coming Thursdays to Fox.
The end of the show is like, and we understand, you know, the winner. You know, we understand, Bob, that you have some special guests with you.
Yes, they're going into this unmarked room.
That's right. It's time for everybody's favorite segment. Yell, shoot, and have someone murdered in cold blood.
Yay!
The crowd cheers. Woo!
Sponsored by the NRA.
Yeah. The NRA is a proud sponsor of the FBI Sweepstakes Lottery. Oh, my God.
So, there you go. FBI Lottery Show, coming Thursdays on Fox.
Oh, it's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the kids love it.
I think you would raise revenue for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, so there you go. We could...
I mean, all the advertising dollars.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to advertise during a show that straight up murders somebody on live television?
Right. Sponsors, beer, FBI, NRA, any other government agencies.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Oh, man.
Okay.
So, so he's using this power to threaten the mayor.
Yes.
And the mayor was very scared.
Yeah. So at that point, the local deputies weren't taking any risks. They immediately located Mr. Falls. He was found near mile marker 32.
Okay.
Wow. Have we ever gotten that before? They just found him randomly at a mile marker?
Was he waiting there?
He's just there?
Does he live there?
No, he's just hanging out there.
How did they know to go there?
I guess they were just searching the highways and found his truck. Well, it's easy to spot his truck. It's got the bees and the spiders in it.
Oh, of course.
And
yeah.
The cops know because they planted the bees and the spiders
in
there.
It all fits together. See, he was right. It's a giant conspiracy by the local police.
Yeah. So there you go. It all fits.
Makes perfect sense.
He was taken to the county jail, and his bond is set at $100,000. So,
wow. Yeah. And the FBI didn't help him at all.
I guess not. Yeah, no.
Damn, those bastards. No loyalty, I tell
you. Yeah, they immediately cut strings with him. That was it.
I can just picture him being arrested and just yelling, shoot, shoot.
They're supposed to shoot you.
And nothing happens.
I won the FBI lottery show.
That's right. He pulls out a ticket. See, right here. It's like, sir, that's a napkin. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What a gem.
All right, and I think we got time for one more story here from Florida.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
There's really not too many details in this story, but it's funny to imagine, and I think it's something you're going to like, Mike.
Okay.
As a Tampa Bay man was catching Pokemon on his smartphone, a deputy quickly noticed that he was on drugs and had drugs in his possession in a public park.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I'll travel.
Oh, I can't remember it.
Searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
Pokemon, gotta catch them all. Pokemon, oh, you're my best friend.
In a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em.
Our
hearts so true.
Oh, yeah, you gotta catch them all.
I love it.
Whether or not you're high on drugs, you gotta catch them all.
I think that's how they wrote this song.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love the Pokemon theme song?
It does get you pumped up.
It really does. It makes me want to go and catch them all.
Well, even if you're on drugs, apparently it does.
Even if you're on drugs. So how did the cops immediately know? You said they immediately saw that he was on drugs.
Yes.
Gave it away?
Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office arrested 29-year-old Jonathan Ortiz Wednesday morning at the Beacon Meadows Park before it opened.
Getting started bright and early.
Yeah, I got to get there before somebody else catches these damn Pokemon.
Right, there's a limited number of Pokemon.
That's how this works, right?
Sure, I guess.
Deputies said that they were patrolling the area when they saw Ortiz parked in the closed county park. He then exited the vehicle and then had his smartphone with him. Ortiz claimed he was catching wild Pokemon at the park using the app. So is right. that, I guess, is it
Pokemon
still
Go? Yeah.
It's still active?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't play it anymore, but I know it's still active.
All right, well, he's...
So the story checks
out
dedicated. So far.
He is dedicated. He needs to catch all the Pokemon.
That's serious business, Rich.
Don't
okay?
you stop him. This is Pokemon.
Searching far and wide. He's Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon, gotta catch
him. At one point, Ortiz then started running to catch the Pokemon.
They don't actually run from you. He does know it's a game, right? They're not actually...
No, this is real. He's got to do it.
He's chasing the Pokemon. It's not how it works. It's not like wrestling pigs, you know?
At one point, Ortiz climbed a tree.
That's definitely not how it works.
What happens if there's one in the tree? I gotta go get it.
Oh yeah, you gotta get those bird Pokemon.
Yeah,
you know? Pidgey and Spearow.
You gotta get them. They're high up in the tree.
I always had a Pidgey on my team.
Well, there you go. You gotta go. Well, did you climb a tree?
I know. All my Pidgeys were on the ground when I found them.
Well, you didn't get the good ones then.
Oh, right. The good ones are in the tree. Yeah. Those are the ones that can fly. I got stupid ground Pidgeys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So he's climbing this tree with his phone to catch the Pokemon.
Yes.
And that's probably when the cops were like, hey, I think something's going on with this guy.
Yeah. I love that just... I think at this point, the cops that were on the scene were just like, just let this happen.
I think they're
let
just
go.
Yeah.
Let's see what he does.
At that point, they're just curiously watching. Like, yeah. Let's just see how far he's going to go.
While he was running from tree to tree, cops noticed that he had marijuana falling out of his back pocket.
Wow. He had so many drugs in his pocket, he's just spilling them everywhere.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to try and hide drugs, you shouldn't climb trees.
No.
Gravity will not help you.
No.
After they put Ortiz in handcuffs, they searched his vehicle. That's when they also found THC oil, more marijuana, and cocaine.
Ooh, that's the one.
That's probably why he was jumping from tree to tree.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
That's the one that'll do him in.
Yep. So he was arrested on numerous drug-related charges.
You know what the saddest part about the story is? That all those Pokemon are going to be without a trainer now.
Yeah, that's a shame.
You know? Think of the poor orphaned Pokemon.
Yeah. But, you know what? He at least had the dream. He was trying to catch them all.
He was.
Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
Pokemon, gotta catch them all.
It's you and me. I know it's my destiny.
Pokemon.
Oh, you're my best friend.
In a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch them all.
A heart so true.
There you go. Pokemon.
I want to go play Pokemon now.
Download
that
the
song
app.
Pumps you up. I still have the app on my phone.
Download the app and do some drugs.
Well, I'm only going to do the one part of it.
Okay.
The drugs part. No.
Yes.
No, I still have the app. I haven't opened it in like over a year, though. So I have no idea what it's like anymore. What's your favorite Pokemon, Rich? Everybody has a favorite Pokemon. Especially from our generation.
Yeah. I like Zubat. He was pretty cool.
Really?
He was pretty cool.
Wow, that came out of nowhere.
I also thought Vulpix was pretty cute.
Vulpix was cool.
Like, kind of reminded me of like a cat fox.
Yeah, yeah. And it evolves into Ninetales.
Yeah.
What?
I can't believe I remembered the name of those Pokemon. I probably can't name you any sort of other historical fact.
If I asked you,
but I can name you some Pokemon.
Would you be able to name the starters, the original three starters?
You
remember Zubat and Vulpix.
It was Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
Charmander.
Yeah.
And Squirtle.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. Why is that still
in
my head?
It was a very important moment in our formative years.
Great.
Pokemon.
Yeah. but not important information.
No.
Yeah, not the
important,
stuff.
No, important information, that gets shoved to the side. You have to remember all one original 150.
Yeah.
You know, that's the important stuff.
The legendary 150. Yep.
That's right.
How do I do taxes?
Yeah, right. What's a tax? Is that another type of Pokemon? Taximon?
Taxi. It just eats money. That's it.
It's just
a little animal that eats money.
Tax. My God, that's awful. That's the worst type of Pokemon.
Yeah. Nobody wants to catch it. It actually just follows you.
It's just, yeah. In fact, you're trying to get away from it.
Yeah.
It's just tearing into your pockets, eating all the cash out of there.
Yeah. And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. All Florida, all the time.
Wow.
Wow. What a journey we had there. Thank you, Florida. So to recap, let's go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that you have to climb the trees to get the best Pokemon.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, the Pokemon on the ground, those are, they're not good.
Yeah, they're not good enough, no.
The good Pokemon hide up in the trees.
Yes.
So take your drugs, like a good Pokemon trainer, and start climbing, all right? Because those Pokemon need trainers to teach them the power that's inside. You'll teach them, they'll teach you. Pokemon,
gotta catch them all.
That's right.
There you go.
Words to live by.
Yes.
Also, I learned that the Pokemon theme song can get you pumped up no matter what hour of the night it is.
Especially with cocaine.
That's right. Cocaine makes the world go round.
And catching Pokemon upside down.
There, and apparently rhyming as well.
Yes.
There you go. Maybe some skills you need for the FBI lottery sweepstakes game show that's coming out.
I think that's a good idea.
I think so, too.
That's basically a great prize.
Oh, yeah, to win the entire power of the FBI and also get to kill someone on live TV.
Just one.
Just right. You're just like, one.
Yeah, we're not being greedy here. Just one.
Right. Right. Hey, don't get ahead of yourself, all right? You know, you get the one. Don't get all cocky and ask for two.
Yeah, that's right, it. Now,
just the one.
That's it.
But we also learned that budget cuts apparently are hitting everybody real hard. Lots of local police forces have to start using bees and spiders now.
Yeah, wow. They have to catch their own bees and spiders.
Tough times, man.
They don't have smoke bombs or or mace. Nope,
yeah,
it's
no
bees and spiders.
No flashbang grenades or pepper spray. So donate to your local police. Help them get, you know, better weapons than spiders and bees.
If you find a beehive in your backyard, tell the cops.
There you go. Yeah.
I got free bees for you.
That's right. Perfect. I also learned that it's important to say goodbye to the dearly departed, especially your departed body parts.
Yes, including a severed penis.
Yes, especially a severed penis. Have a little funeral with a little coffin, little flowers, little everything. It's only proper.
We'll miss you, Junior.
We'll miss you, Junior. Oh, God. Parting is just so hard.
Yep.
We also learned about improper exhibition of a weapon. That's a real thing.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Legal crime.
Yeah, and I also learned that if you search for a legal term and your state is the first state to pop up, you have big problems in your state, as is the case with Florida.
Good job, Florida.
Yeah, you are the top Google search result when you search improper exhibition of a weapon. I can't imagine why, Rich.
Yeah, not a surprise.
And finally, I learned about Florida's new slogan, Visit Florida's Nuclear Crocodiles. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
That's right. And it's not copyright infringement.
That's right. Because we're talking about crocodiles.
Yes. And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. There you go, folks. It is time to wrap this episode up. What a crazy episode. A lot of news. A lot of odd news from Florida as well.
Crazy, crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, we got to go over Pokemon and
severed penises.
Game shows and the FBI and... Where else are you going to get a podcast like this?
Nuclear crocodiles?
Nuclear crocodiles.
I mean, we got it all.
Yeah. Name something we don't have.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because right now, I feel like we've covered almost every topic in our history of the show. Which, by the way, if you like what you heard, you can go check out our complete backlog of episodes on our website, thecrispynoodle.com. You can also like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast. So you get any news bulletins we want to send your way instantaneously, and you're in the loop for any news or programming notes with the show.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on your podcast service of choice.
That's right. You can choose any one of them, and you'll be able to find us. You know what's really cool is you can put us on either Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or Spotify, and it will work with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. Yep. CarPlay?
CarPlay. Yep, that's the only way to listen to it. I listen to it every week.
It is kind of surreal that we're on that.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a cool, you know, morning podcast show to listen to on your way to work, you can listen to us literally on the go.
Right.
So there you go.
Depending on how long your commute is, it could last you an entire week.
Yeah. So check that out. If you want to get into contact with us individually on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. Send us all your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories, and we will feature it on the show.
That's right. And also tweet at us on Sunday when we're at Tattooed Moms for the Philly Podcast Festival. It will be really exciting to see a live podcast. But for now, we got to wrap this up. This has been the Crisp Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crisp Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the Ghost Clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!